to C3 Church Hepburn Heights. We believe Jesus Christ gives life to the full, and we are called to live it and share it. We pray you enjoy this message today.
How good has this Hearing the Voice of God series been? I was thinking back over just the last few weeks and to when Pastor John Pierce came and launched this series for us. And one of the things, one of his first points that he made was that Jesus' number one priority is intimacy with us. And we can see how intimately he knows us when we hear stories of healing that's so specific. And I want us just to take a hold of this idea right now this morning that God created us to be intimate with him and for him to be close and intimate with us. I want us to sit in that and hold on to it as we contemplate another aspect of hearing the voice of God today. God speaks. God speaks to us all the time. The hearing is kind of on our end sometimes, isn't it? But God is speaking. He speaks in so many ways. He speaks in his word. We tangibly and are so abundantly blessed with Bibles, electronic, paper, however you want to get it into you, audio, you can receive the word of God any moment. He speaks through others. He speaks in whispers, in audible voice. I'm actually married to someone who's heard the audible voice of God. That's a bit of a spin out to me. He speaks through pain sometimes. That's not our favourite way for God to speak, but he can. He speaks through peace. He speaks through doors opening. He speaks through desires growing and stirring in our hearts. And he speaks through dreams and visions. And that's actually what we're going to take a look at today. In the Bible, God speaks to people through dreams and visions more than any other way. So maybe we need to know a bit about that. In his book Whisper, Mark Batterson says, there is no dialect that God speaks more fluently or frequently in Scripture. Whether it's dreams by night or dreams by day, which is visions, God is the dream giver. So it's good for us to know a little bit about this. Are you ready? Okay, last time I preached in our Surprising Delight in Loving Obedience series, we looked at a passage of Scripture together in Acts 9. We're actually going to go there again. Now, you might be asking, does Genevieve read any other bits of the Bible? I do, but this passage has so much not only about obedience but about visions and hearing God in visions. So we're going to have a little travel through Acts 9 again together. So the context there is that this is Saul's road to Damascus experience, where he has a blinding experience of Jesus, and it totally changes his life. So we're going to pick up in verse 3. Saul, as he neared Damascus, and remember, he's heading there to go and persecute some Christians. So he's not on the most holy of missions. He thinks he is, but he's really not. So as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do." The men travelling with Saul stood there speechless. They had heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind. He did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. And as we read a little bit further, we see that Ananias takes care of Paul. He draws him into a group of disciples in Damascus, trains him up, and Saul, who becomes known as Paul, Paul's ministry is launched from there. So looking at this scripture, there are a number of visions here. Firstly, Saul's initial encounter. The vision he sees is a blinding light from heaven. It flashes around him and it causes him to fall to the ground in worship. He actually closes his eyes because it says when he opened his eyes, he could no longer see. So it's completely blinding and he falls onto his face. And out of that light and with Saul in that posture of worship, Jesus speaks. Jesus speaks from this light, reveals who he is, and gives Saul some specific directions to stop persecuting the disciples and to go and wait. So we can see in this supernatural vision that this vision from God interrupts his human plans, brings a revelation of Jesus, draws worship from Saul, and provides guidance in a next step. So that's, vision's good, right? Brings all these things to us. Okay, secondly, Ananias receives a vision. In verse 10, the Lord calls to Ananias in a vision and calls him by name. Ananias responds immediately. He doesn't say, "Who are you?" like Saul does. So we can understand from this that this is probably not the first time this has happened for Ananias. He is a godly man. Paul describes him as such later in Acts, obviously has a prophetic gift and is familiar with the voice of God. He has a relationship with God that is intimate enough for him to question God when God says, "Go and do this," and he's like, "I'm not really that keen." So we can see in this vision, there's an intimacy. It's an intimate conversation between Ananias and the familiar voice of Father God. He's called by name. He feels confident enough to question God. We see here that it's not an unexpected thing. Vision is not unusual for Ananias. And again, it involves purpose and guidance and a revelation of God's plans. Thirdly, as God gives some more specific instruction to Ananias, he reveals that Saul has also received a vision when he's praying. In verse 11 and 12, Saul is praying and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come and place hands on him to restore his sight. So we see here prophetic vision linked to prayer. Saul knew that he was to go and wait in Damascus. That's all he knew. He's naturally blind right now and he's pretty vulnerable, but he knew he was to wait on the Lord. So how does he do that? He seeks him in prayer. And how is he answered in that prayer? Through a vision. I love this. There is such a beautiful intricacy in these prophetic visions in this passage. God sets up a supernatural introduction between Ananias and Saul. There's no Facebook. They can't stalk each other. They don't know each other's credentials. But here, God sets it up so that Ananias doesn't fear and Saul doesn't either. I mean, he's blind. Some guy comes along and wants to place his hands on you and you're blind. I think you'd freak out a little bit, but God sets it up so that they know each other through Holy Spirit. There is purpose in these visions. God reveals his plans. He is sharing with his people what he is doing. God didn't actually need to include Ananias in any of this. Let's think about this. Paul's testimony later in Acts about his road to Damascus experience of Jesus is powerful enough to have stopped Saul in his murderous ways. And Jesus could have spoken to him in that moment about all his plans for him. But instead, God wants to work through Ananias. He wants to welcome Saul into the church through another human. Because God doesn't just want intimacy with us. He wants intimacy and love amongst us. He wants us to be in community. He wants us to learn to love and serve one another. So vision is not just for us. If all we needed was a vision from God and an intimate relationship with God on our own, we could all go away and live in little pods and not need one another at all. But we see here, he weaves this story together. We need each other. We're to love and serve one another. Prophetic vision reveals God. It continues intimacy with Ananias. We see intimacy for Saul because he reveals to Saul how he's going to care for him and how detailed that is. And the ultimate goal of all of this is actually the gospel moving forward, the good news of Jesus spreading across the world. So that's God's ultimate goal. That's why he wants to be intimate with us. He flips here Saul's murderous agenda to a ministry agenda and creates an entirely different future through this weaving together of visions. This is not the only time in Acts or indeed in the Bible where we see visions and communication. In the next chapter, Peter and Cornelius, we have another little story we're going to have a look at. Cornelius is an Italian centurion, God-fearing and generous man. He is a Gentile and not a Jew. So the Jews didn't associate with the Gentiles. They didn't eat with them, didn't go to their houses. They considered them unclean. In Acts 10, verse 3, we see this story unfold. One day at about 3 in the afternoon, he, who is Cornelius, had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner whose house is by the sea." Just a little side note, I am so happy that God is so good with directions because I am not. He's so specific and I think he helps me not get lost quite often. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. Meanwhile, in Joppa, about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the roof to pray. He became hungry. Does anyone else sometimes realise they're hungry when they're praying? I think this is really cool. Peter became hungry, wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was also known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into his house to be his guests. And we can continue reading and we see the next day Peter does travel to Cornelius's house with the men. And Cornelius, in faith to the vision he'd received, has gathered all his friends and family. They are there waiting. He so trusts that God has got this, that Peter will come, that he invites everyone over. He's prepared it all ready for Peter to arrive. And culturally, Peter shouldn't have gone into his house. He even says so as he enters, but he's just been shown a vision where God made a way for Peter to go and minister. So we see that God appears to Cornelius and speaks to him whilst also talking to Peter about Cornelius, preparing this vision to accept all people. Peter, like Ananias, has a moment of questioning God. In fact, he basically tells God, you must be wrong. And I love that Holy Spirit needs to make him aware that the men have actually arrived. He's so up in his head, he's pondering this vision that he's seen, the Holy Spirit has to say, by the way, there's some men downstairs knocking on your door, because he doesn't want us to miss out. Holy Spirit does not want us to miss out on these divine opportunities that he provides for us to use the gifts he's placed within us to spread the word. He wants us not to miss a thing. The prophetic vision from God introduces two very diverse people, brings unity between two diverse cultures. And this vision is not just for Peter's or Cornelius's immediate and personal growth. It does grow them, but it's so much more about moving forward the gospel again of more people knowing the love of Christ and for those that Cornelius gathers, his friends and family. Hearing from God and receiving a vision is not just for us individually, it is of benefit to us, but it's also for the benefit of those around us. In Acts 2:17, on the day of Pentecost, Peter stands and he begins to preach and he quotes from the prophet Joel and he says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." I'll let you choose your own category. "Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy." In his book Whisper, Mark Batterson says this about this scripture: "The supernatural byproduct of being filled with God's spirit is dreams and visions. And prophecy is part of the package deal too. Not only do we need to discern the voice of God for ourselves, but we also need to discern the voice of God for others. The dreams God gives us are for us, but they are never just for us. They're for everyone who will be affected and inspired by them." Beautiful band, I'd love you to come back up. Biblically, vision is an encounter with God, a special revelation, an impartation of sight. Vision can be defined as sight divinely granted. This week, which I found ever so comforting as I was preparing to speak, Pastor Phil Pringle posted on his social media and he wrote, "God communicates through visions, painting a future that ignites passion and faith." Not a coincidence on the timing, I don't think. We all want more passion. We all want more faith. And I believe today that Holy Spirit has vision, an impartation of vision for us as a church. Pastor Phil went on to warn that fear and negativity often threaten these visions. In both of the visions in Acts, there's a different future painted and it's so much more beautiful than the one that either of the people involved could have imagined. These encounters, though, did bring out fear. There's fear-driven questioning of God that occurs and we see the humanity of the people receiving the vision from God. I think it cheers me up. Both Ananias and Peter take their fears to God, though. They question him. They ask for more clarity. They don't walk away going, "No, that's too scary." God explains more to Ananias, gives him a bigger picture. And he repeats himself three times to Peter, which gives me great hope. I need God to repeat himself time and again. I'm sure some of you also feel the same. The early church was birthed in these visions. What is God wanting to birth in us today? We are in a season of new things. We are in a season of shift and change, and God is stirring healing. And I believe today he wants to bring us to a place of seeing more. Vision can be life-changing. When I was in my 20s, I had set upon a course of study. It was not going to plan. But in a moment of worship, I had my eyes closed and my hands raised. God showed me a vision. It was like a little mini film in my mind, I suppose. That's how it came to me. And I saw myself standing in my old English literature classroom at my old high school, and I was teaching English, and Jesus was standing right next to me. And I was so excited. I was like, wow, if that is where Jesus is going to be next to me, I want to be close to him. That's what I'm going to do. And so I continued in my study and then added a graduate diploma of teaching of education at the end. And the very first task that we were set was a mini micro teaching lesson. And we were bussed off to local schools to present a 10-minute lesson. And I did mine. Oh. In my old lit classroom at my old high school. And so the vision wasn't just symbolic. The vision came to pass. And that is what God wants for us today, to be able to see him, to be able to see ourselves as he sees us, to have a next step or a life-changing, path-altering vision of what he has for us. That is what our Father God wants for us. So how do we receive it? Well, if we look in the scripture, Saul is on his face worshipping. Peter's praying. And so there's a shift in posture that's required. There's a hunger for God that is required. And I believe that hunger has been stirred in our midst, that we do want more. We want to see more. We know there is more. And this morning, I believe God has an outpouring of that more for us.
Thanks so much for joining us here on our podcast. We encourage you to let this word further help you live and share the life to the full that Jesus gives. If you want to check out more about our upcoming events, service times, locations, or to give online, go to c3hh.com.au.